One of my worst fears is that while we're singing the songs, that I would leave the microphone on and that you would hear me singing. That is a very real fear for me, amen? Well, hey, I wanted to have a couple remarks. I was super excited when this family came in that Dr. Money was talking about. I saw at least probably 6 or 8 folks go out of their way to make sure that they felt welcome. Almost to the point where I felt bad for them. I'm like, everyone's going up and saying hi, but no one's going to come to this campus and not say they weren't welcomed. Amen. I thought that was great. The reason they came to the church is over in the gym right now on Saturdays, we have a sports program called I-9 Sports that they're using the gym for basketball and volleyball. A couple of our families are involved. And literally my job on Saturdays is just to go and spend time in the gym and talk to people. And she asked the question, hey, do you guys have anything for kids? And I was able to give her the flyer that we have for the nursery and everything, and she goes, that was awesome. So we were super excited to see someone come out from having people on the campus. I was telling Brother Terry and Brother Byron, there's close to 300 or 400 adults and 200 or 300 kids that are coming on our campus every Saturday. I encourage you to come out, watch them play some sports. I was telling the kids, yesterday they had the little tykes, which is the 5 and 6 year olds, like 4, 5, 6. You know, their score was like 16-16 on 7-foot rims. And the last second, the little tiniest guy gets the ball, and I don't know how he did it, but he just threw it. And as time expired, he tied the game. And everybody went wild. It was really neat. But I encourage you to come out. I know Mark plays. This guy does too, yeah? Yeah, Austin, did you dunk this week? No? Okay, just check.
You told me you're not allowed.
Well, it's, you know, the irony of the way God works is Dr. Money had no idea what I was going to be preaching on, and I had no idea what he was going to be preaching on. But believe it or not, my message also has to do with choice. So if you would, turn to Joshua 24:15, right? Probably one of the more popular verses that we have in Scripture. If you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. If I can get my paper separated. It says this, just simple, in verse 15, it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." That part I want to read again. "Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Heavenly Father, we do again come before you. We're so thankful to be here. Please watch over those that can't make it, those that are watching online. Be with our preacher up in Wisconsin. Lord, we love you, and be with us tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you know, I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about how what today represents, and the fact that it's been about 10 days since we got back from Arise. You know, I was thinking about it. For those of you that don't know exactly what took place at Arise, we left at 6 a.m. in the morning. Our first service that night started at 7 o'clock, and from that night on, we heard about 7 different messages. We heard some amazing music. There's a chorus that I keep getting stuck in my head is, "My God is stronger, bigger." What was it all? Bigger, stronger. But the idea is, I mean, that was what was preparing our hearts for what was going to take place. These are some of the, you know, some of the preachers from around our country that are just profound. You know, many of that have preached here. They've been preparing all year for it, and God showed up in the most amazing way. We had a chance as leaders to watch an unbelievable group of young people. I've never been on a trip where there wasn't some, you know, some bickering or frustrations with the kids, but they all got along from the youngest to the oldest. There was times when, you know, one would head to the altar and 7 more would go up with them. Brother Brian and I were talking about times that we would go up and pray, and all of a sudden the young people would come and pray for us. We're watching them pray for each other. Brother Aaron had said, you know, watch out for the little Jacks. Watch out for guys like Joel. But to a person, it was an unbelievable week. You know, I felt absolutely blessed to watch and listen. You guys got a chance to hear what a lot of the kids came up and said last week as they're for testimonials. But I will tell you, there were a lot more decisions made than the ones they vocalized here. There were some real young people making decisions to put themselves in a godly position for a future that involves Christ.
Amen.
I'm talking stuff that you and I would talk about, and we'd be kind of nervous, like, man, I don't know if they're going to trust me with this. But they're making professions on things and saying, you know, I need to make a decision. You know, God's putting me to the fire for some things. And I'm telling you, that was exciting. I know a couple of them learned a truth from the Word of God. You know, we heard different testimonies about how the kids heard what Scripture said about, you know, some say cows over Canaan, but many of us say heifers over Canaan. We can explain that to you if you need us to. Some were broken and convicted of sin. You know, to have a young person say to me as an adult, like, hey, I'm struggling in this area, I was blown away. Because my goodness, if I had that character when I was his age. We had folks that found peace in things and situations in their lives, and that was awesome to watch that. And obviously we had some folks that were called into ministry. You know, I'm trying to think where, I don't know if Brother Joe was preaching. You had said that five folks got called to preach. Like, we've been to a lot of youth meetings, and there's not been a lot of folks getting called into ministry. So for us to have some, and then Brother Joe to preach a message or a conference and have some kids surrender to preach,
amen.
That's exciting. Guys, I say all that to tell you this. What we have here at Fellowship is unbelievable. But I want to encourage you, if you get a chance to get out of this area, go find a conference. You know, for me, I still have young people in my house, so I'm always going to kind of lean towards that. But I encourage you, ask Preacher, ask Brother Ken, ask some folks that know where something is. Go get yourself a spiritual revival on your own. Because guess what? You come back and you have the excitement that these teenagers did. Now we're 10 days out, and like I said, they made a lot of decisions. They made a lot of choices. You know, some of which were, you know, very easy to see and to understand. I love when I mess up my own notes. But one of the things that, you know, that I want you to know that we the conversations that we had with a lot of the teenagers was, listen, we're excited. There's a joy that's here because we're at a conference. You know, the music was spot on. You know, but when you make a decision, write it down. When you make a decision, tell somebody. Brother Brian kept telling that to not only to me, but to the teens, because it's easy to make a decision when there's no accountability, right? We can say, well, God did a great work, but if we're not following up, if we're not putting feet to what it is that the choices that were made, really easy to just go, hey, I'm back into my normal swing.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's hard for me to imagine it. It's been 10 days since we came back. I just remember, you know, even on the drive home, while I destroyed the van, it was interesting just to think of the comments that the kids had made. You know, the things that they testified about at the hotel on Thursday night. And even now, I think back to some of the phrases and the comments that were made about preaching. You know, there's something special when you go to a room. Preaching doesn't even start. They're doing the chorus for the second time on a song, and hundreds of kids are coming forward. They had to delay the preaching the one night because God showed up and did some amazing things. Kids were making decisions all across the room. I don't know if you heard, but that there's one night that they call 100 people got saved.
Amen.
There was another night, Brother Ken referenced it, where C.T. Townsend got up and he's saying, listen, he goes, if you're serious, I don't want you being a joker, I don't want you to be like getting up because everybody else is, but if you're serious that you're going to live for God, come up. And watching all of our kids, almost in unison, stand up and go to the altar. While that's wonderful, the work is now beginning.
Right. Yes, sir.
Brian and I have talked, you know, that we want to make sure that we're following up with kids. You know, we've had some conversations. We've tried to share the conversation so we know where kids are at. But we got to follow up.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you, and I look back at my Christian faith, the times that I made, that God showed up in my heart, convicted me of stuff or tried to move me, and I didn't say anything to anybody, guess what? I failed on them. Not all the time, but sometimes it was hard. We want to make it a point that these kids have every opportunity to follow up on the decisions and the choices that were made. Can you imagine if that group of kids catches it? He's not here today, but one of the conversations I had with a young man, he's going to be a senior, and he wants to get involved in his local school, and we were talking about it. And he came to me yesterday morning, and he's talking to Brother Brian as well. He goes, I want to do something for my school. It's my senior year. I'm not going to be there all the time. Pray for me. Can you imagine? I said, all you got to do is show up at your school and have your Bible. Pray for kids. Be there when they, you know, when the kid who least expects it, you show up next to him. That's the kind of the quality of the young people that we're having. So the reality is, every one of us that went on the trip, God showed up and did some miraculous things. But guess what? The same God that we heard about at Arise is the same God that's been in our church.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
I had some fun talking with people from back home. And I just said, you know, it's been a wild year. We've been here almost 14 months, and rarely does a Sunday go by that God doesn't show up in a way that we least expected. People joining the church, young people getting saved, visitors coming out. Now, guess what? Not everybody shows up a second or third time, but guess what? God has showed up in so many ways. Last week, I got to watch a handful of people come to the altar, and no disrespect or anything, that folks that hadn't come up to the altar in the time that I've been here. This morning, my heart was blessed. We're sitting here, and I watched my wife come up to the altar, and two or three ladies go over and pray for her.
Amen.
Tell you what, man, that's right. Tears are like welling up in my face. I'm going, God is good.
Amen.
But folks, just because our teens went away doesn't mean you guys missed out. You know, I don't know if you were aware of this, but you have some of the best preaching, not myself included, but a man who invests a lot of time. I'm not trying to puff up Dr. Jenkins, but it's amazing how much I connect with his preaching, but also of the person. I say all that to say, those teenagers and us leaders went, we made some choices, we made some decisions. My guess is over the course of the last month, you guys have had the same opportunities. God has convicted you on things. He's challenged you on things. Maybe you're like me and, you know, Dr. Jenkins was preaching about something and all of a sudden, scripture comes alive that you weren't used to hearing. Like, I've read that 100 times, but why didn't it make sense like that to me before? What I'm saying is, the same God that was at Arise is the same God that we have here today. The same God that moved in our teenagers is trying to move in each one of us. But guess what? We have a choice to make. Dr. Money did a great job this morning talking about the choices that we make, not waiting. But if you guys are anything like me, I can think back of times where God showed up and I waited and waited and all of a sudden, nothing. I think about how many different times each one of us has had things put on our plate to do, whether it's sharing the gospel with someone specific. God puts a burden on your heart. Give more of your time and your resources to the work of the Lord. Maybe God's challenged you to be a better husband, a better spouse, a better parent, a better employee. God's given you a truth of like maybe an attitude that you had that was wrong. Maybe a conviction or a, you know, a stereotype that you had that, you know what, God is moving me from that. Think about all the different, you know, Dr. Money said there's a lot of things to get involved. My guess is God has put a burden on your heart to do something for the Lord. Are you doing it?
Amen.
Are you being faithful? Because guess what? Just like those teens, follow through and follow up is what's going to, it's going to show the fruits of the labor. Amen?
Yes. Amen?
So what we want to be able to do is we want to be able to put in a position that we're saying, man, God convicted me of this. And I watch what God did next. The problem is what happens. We hear a real good message. I don't know if you guys realize what all took place this week. We came back from Arise. We had the teenagers on stage. Awesome, unbelievable Sunday. Then Miss Jenkins gets stuck in an Atlanta airport. Miss Gail gets sick for the week. Miss Money wants to go get hospital food, so she goes to the hospital for a week. You know, I say that in jest, but at the same time, we were under attack.
Yes, sir.
Satan wanted nothing to do with us having victory for the
You're
teens
right.
and for our church.
Amen.
Dr. Jenkins, I don't know if you heard this, but he left at like, what, 1 o'clock in the morning to go pick you up? I've never known Miss Jenkins to drive Dr. Jenkins, but she told me she got to drive a little bit. But guess what? He was in the office, still going, getting ready for the week, and now he's preaching 10 messages. The reality is, folks, life happens. So last Sunday, we had a great day. All these good things were happening. We're hearing testimonies. We're being blessed.
Yes, sir.
Some of you had given, you know, sacrificially so these kids could go.
Yes, sir.
And then, like I said, life happens. You get sick. You get busy. You get distracted. And all of a sudden, that choice or the conviction that God had already put you under, now it's kind of secondary, right? All of a sudden, you don't even remember because, you know, you didn't write a note down. You didn't tell anybody. And all of a sudden, it's gone. You know, there's a little guilt because you knew God had spoken to you. God had challenged you a little bit. But that's my worst fear for this group of teenagers, is that they're going to be like other generations of people who've forgotten the things that God has done for them,
yes.
the faithfulness that God had, and the reality that the choices that you're making, those are of God. If God puts a burden on your heart, challenges you, by all means. You know, I think of James, where it says this, for if any be hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. How many times have we done that, even just in our devotions? We'll read a scripture, and then nothing.
Sure.
Guys, I'm not scolding you by any means. I wish I could say that I've been a perfect Christian. I always say, ask my kids. And I'm like, no, don't ask them. They know, our families know the good and the bad, right? And the ugly. But folks, there's nothing new under the sun. It's not like you're the only one. But guess what? Satan's going to make you think that.
Right.
Satan's going to say, man, you just went and heard preaching that could have changed your life, and look at you, nothing. Well, what happens is this, is then all of a sudden, on Monday, we're the same person we came into church as.
Yes,
because we didn't let the Word of God, we didn't let the preaching, we didn't let it affect us the way that we would want it to.
Amen.
I asked permission to do this, but one of my favorite people in the world is my son, Jeremiah. A couple years ago, he was called to preach. He went up to Grace, had a great couple of semesters, and the college ended up closing. But he still had that call on his life. And I will tell you, watching that young man get ready for Bible college, he was the guy that if he got paid, you know, $5, he was putting 50 cents in the plate every week. He tithed, he did everything he could the right way, and God blessed him for it.
Amen.
Well, the college closes literally a couple weeks right before you're getting ready to go back. We find out the tour group was supposed to come, and now they're not coming. So we're like, wow, it's crazy. One of the things that happened in Arise, Jeremiah went forward. He's asking God, God, if you still want me to preach, you're not going to let me up. And a big deal, you heard about some of these strange people, strangers, who are coming over and praying for us and praying for Dr. Jenkins. Well, one of them, a kind of a big muscular guy, comes over and lays on Jeremiah and starts praying over him. Now, my wife and I didn't know he was there. We stopped and we prayed with him. When that boy got up, there was a smile.
Amen.
Amen.
Good,
that smile hadn't been there for a while. You know why?
That's good.
Because he let the calling get stale. He let the calling sit.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, I said, Jeremiah, what has life been like the last couple of years? And he's like, I don't know. I can't really put it into words. And he, you know, kind of stale, kind of not hot nor cold. That's a picture of what happens when we let the calling of God on our lives and we let it just sit there.
Sir.
I thank you for letting me share that, Jeremiah. But pray for him, because he wants to be in the will of God. And he's got a battle ahead of him, and he knows it. But like I said, when he stood up, the joy that I saw in his face, I was like, that's awesome.
Amen.
And he goes, it was kind of weird the guy held me on the ground, but no, it's okay. Well, what I saw at Arise, I meant to get a better picture, but I couldn't find a good picture of it. I couldn't find it on any of CT's things. Is if you ever look on the stage, all the way to the left, there was a big poster, you know, 10 by 10 poster. And it said three things on it. It said, arise, step up, and stand out. I thought, man, that's really powerful.
Amen.
You know, I never thought about the idea of the name of the conference being Arise. The definition of arise says to get up, stand up, or to emerge.
Amen.
The irony is in Scripture, a couple of times that we hear arise is when someone is being raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. In Luke chapter 7, it's the young man. In Luke chapter 8, it's Jairus' daughter. Jesus says, arise.
Amen.
So the first thing that we got to do to put into action the choices and decisions is we have to arise.
Mm-hmm.
I think of it this way. I'm dating myself. I know I'm getting older. But I've realized one truth for myself is if I'm going to get out of bed, I got to get all the way up. If I sit down or if I lean against the bed, I'm going back down. So for me to arise, like I don't know how, but I've become more of a morning person more than a late night. I told Brian at Arise, Dr. or Brother Shantz, I said, hey, listen, about midnight, I'm done. About midnight, I'm snoozing, I'm gone. I'll do my best to stay up. The guys had, you know, some very intense air hockey tournaments and arm wrestling and push-ups. I did not even attempt the push-ups. But I say all that to say this. The idea of to arise. God calls you to something. You got to take an action. You have to move. The second one says this, is step up. It says, come forward for a particular purpose to increase the amount, speed, or intensity of something. A couple of verses is James 1:22. It says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Luke 11:28 says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. John 13:17 says this, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. We just heard in James where it says, don't be the guy that hears it and walks away and forgets it. I want to encourage you guys, God gives you something to do in your life. It could be something as simple as giving a tract. It could be something as hard as and world-changing as surrendering yourself to the ministry and everything in between. It could be something, an attitude that you have to adjust in your life. No one will, might not ever see the difference. But if God puts a burden on your heart, be a doer of the word. It doesn't do us any good to just keep hearing the same things and not letting it move us. I praise God that I am not the Christian I was when I was 18 years old. I have not arrived, and I'm really praying that God can keep moving me in that direction. Because I want to be the husband that I'm called to be. I want to be the father and umpa, as my grandkids call me. But we have to arise, we have to step up. And the picture I have is, you know, getting out of bed, I have to take a rise, I have to get up, and I have to take a step forward so that I don't end up back on the bed right away. Because my bed is really comfortable. The third one is this, is to stand out. It says, project from a surface. Listen to this. Persist in opposition to or support of something. Folks, if we arise and we take a step forward, people are going to see something different. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says this, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Ephesians 6:13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that, listen to this, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Folks, if God's calling you to something, it's for your betterment first and foremost. But it's more importantly, it's for his glory. He's not doing anything to waste our time. And we might not understand what that small, simple step of faith is going to mean down the road. But I think if you would agree, the times that we've watched God show up in our lives, he doesn't change everything all at once. It's small steps of obedience. Small steps of obedience. Small steps of conviction.
Amen.
Believe it or not, if you can imagine, I did have hair at one time. But I remember going to church. When I first started going to church, I would have a t-shirt, shorts, and sandals on. If someone were to come in, I'm just excited they're here. But I've watched the conviction on so many areas of my life over the course of time. But guess what? It's one foot in front of the other, one step at a time. Now, mind you, there's times that God's going to call you to make a huge step of faith, correct? But I look at these three words, these three phrases, and notice again that all three of them are in action. All three of them require a choice. I can't look into your mind and find out what God has called you to and judge you and say, well, you didn't obey God. Only you know that. And you know what? Praise God for that. Because that's our walk. That's what makes you and I different, is what God's calling me to might not be what God's calling you to. But as Brother Money said today, you have a choice to make. Are you going to listen to the convictions? Are you going to listen to the challenges that God has put forth for you? Because when he does that in our lives, the whole point is to make us who he wants us to be. What's the, I can't think of the words to the kids' song. I'll go off on a tangent if I go there, so. Yes, thank you, from the loft, I love it. We'll have a chorus later. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Some of the worst fears that I have, looking back at my Christian faith and my walk, I've been saved for 33 years, is what did my disobedience, what did my lack of follow-through, what did it cost? Not only me, but the people that I came in contact with. My worst fear is this, is one day, you know, a friend of mine shared this and it blew my mind. He goes, can you imagine, you know, I don't think they have escalators in heaven, but we're riding escalators. I'm on my way to heaven because I'm saved and I'm watching a friend go and he's going to hell. And all he's going to say to me is, why didn't you tell me? And it's because those small steps that I ignored, that I said, well, I know better. Or I got lazy. And I didn't do and follow through the way that I should have. But we just read a scripture that says all things work together. The things that God's challenging me to do right now might be for something 2 years down the road. It might not have anything to do with me. Maybe it's for my grandsons or my granddaughter. Maybe it's for my son or a daughter-in-law. Or someone in your ministry that we're going to come across something. The big picture is, folks, we haven't arrived as Christians. We've got to keep striving to grow and deepen our faith because God is going to put the pieces and make us who he wants us to be. The reality is we need to let God be God in our lives, and we need to obey that still small voice that's challenging us, encouraging us, convicting us, so that we become who God wants us to be. Isaiah 64:8 says this, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are clay, and thou art our potter, we are all the work of thy hands. The whole idea of all of this, the reason we have preaching and singing, the reason Dr. Jenkins leaves and goes and preaches is because we want to bring glory and honor to God. We want our lives and and who we are to reflect who Christ desires us to be. I have a video that I want to show. It's, and some of the folks that in our class have seen this, but this is a picture of what every small step is God is intending to do, trying to mold us and make us like that verse said about the clay. It's called God's Chisel. I think in the beginning it's got a little upbeat music, so I apologize for that. After that video, Dr. Money's going to come up and close us. Gentlemen, go ahead.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, his masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be his masterpiece. I want to be everything he created me to be. And so I go to him in prayer, and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of your Son. Make me your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. Mm-hmm. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here, that would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus?
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel,
no,
talk,
no,
chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust? Well,
time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust?
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you
know. That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things or life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
no,
chisel.
No, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason. to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah, but you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. And chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror, and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away, just... be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my God.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison, but look at it as a father discipline his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer.
I've overcome the world.
I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
So if you remember the verse we started off with, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Folks, it's a choice. I know when I first saw that video, I could definitely relate. Thinking, God, if you only knew what was inside of me. But to a person in this room, God values each one of us. I cannot wait. I was telling somebody to see what God does through this group of people, through the people that are the teachers and everybody that's here. Can you imagine what would happen in this community if every one of us allowed God to be God in our lives?
Yeah.
That we allowed other brothers and sisters to help and encourage and support us. Amen. The Christian life is not meant to be a you on an island. Be what you need. How do I say this nicely? Put the stuff aside.
Amen.
The stuff that slows us down. Because the reality is each one of us needs to allow that picture to take place. We need to let God be God in our lives. We need to choose today to let God be God. I like it when this verse ends, it says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Guys, the Christian life is not easy. It's not simple or pretty. I remember one guy said, he goes, you know, if you're not in tears, you know, full of snot every so often at the altar, you're not doing it right. But I think there's something amazing that's going to happen in this church. No pretenses aside, it's not about tradition, it's about letting God be God in our lives.
Amen.
Choose today.